Hello again, everybody. It's Chuck Ross, the editorial director of Television Week magazine, and we're here once again talking to Manny Coto, co-executive producer of 24, and as it turns out, the co-writer of Last Night's Hour, which was 8 to 9 in the evening. Manny, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
One of the better episodes, I thought. A lot of action and a lot of interesting twists and turns along the way, and enjoyed it a lot. Again, what you have, and we talked a little bit about last week, was the mixing of, you know, that nonstop, 24 pounding action, and you know, what makes excuse me the show so great is also getting into the characters at the same time, and sort of as we're going at nonstop pace. And obviously, one of the things that happened yesterday was a relationship between Milo and Nadia, which was fairly interesting.
Yeah, no, we've been, you know, clearly building toward that, and I think it's I think what makes you care about the action on this show is precisely that, the interpersonal relationships. I mean, without them, I don't think the action really means anything. And the Nadia and Milo thing is an interesting situation which we're carrying through to, you know, upcoming episodes.
Very good. Well, I thought it was she was cleared last night, which that was it was very interesting, because one of the things I thought was interesting as you were setting that up is if she hadn't done that herself, clearly it could have been Milo. And so
yeah, exactly. I think the audience was hopefully left guessing as to who, if she's not the mole, then someone else must be.
Right.
And I think that the twist was nice, that there is no mole. It was purely an accident.
Right.
And I must say, I thought that scene was played remarkably well last night, where she, you really felt that, this kiss between them, she was reaching out for some human contact, exercising the fear that she had just gone through, at the same time, expressing her feelings for Milo.
Right.
I thought it was wonderfully played last night.
It really, really was. Now, again, getting back into sort of the nuts and bolts of the writing of this, and you were sort of explaining about that last week, about various acts. Now, both you and Howard Gordon, who we've talked to before, as everyone knows, co-wrote the episode. You both got credit. Did you sort of work on the acts separately and then join together, or how did that sort of work?
Yeah, I think, if I remember correctly on this one, we I think Howard took acts 1, 2, and I did 3, 4, and 5,
right?
And I think we just kind of split it up that way in this case. And,
okay. And that's it. There are 5 acts every hour.
Yes, 5 acts every hour. And 3, 4, and 5. I mean, 1 and 2 are usually long, and 3, 4, and 5 are short. But they pretty much, amount to like halfway.
Right.
50%.
Right, and then obviously a lot of things going on last night. Part of it was the thing with Hauser, and what was going to happen with he and his brother, and obviously with Grudenko and all of that, which I thought was very, very well done last night. Now, you also had obviously the return last night of President Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we don't know what's going to happen in the future and his health, but it certainly has sent the boundaries between him and the vice president, the Powers Booth character, have those boundaries set out real clearly now.
Sure, we really wanted to set up a situation where these two are really going to be, butting heads, and it's going to lead to a constitutional crisis and some wonderful scenes between these two.
Right. And meanwhile, all this with the backdrop of obviously 2 more nuclear devices and where that's going, which obviously keeps it going pretty quickly as
right.
Well. Do you find this season, one of the things I've been reading on the boards is folks have said, and I don't know if it was true about last night's episode so much, but they seem to think that Jack doesn't seem to be totally in the focus of the action as maybe he's been in past seasons. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I guess it's possible. I really wouldn't be able to say exactly. It does feel like Jack's a little bit less prominent this season than he was last season, but it's simply because of the various characters, and it's not anything conscious that we're doing. It's just simply the stories that are that are being generated very often by the characters and where we're leading these stories. But I think you will look at the various. I think it'll go up and down throughout the season. I think Jack's involvement, you know, maybe, you know, I think last night less so, but in certain episodes definitely. But I think as the season progresses, it becomes more Jack-centric.
Right. And and I think I've asked Howard this before, but I'm just wondering when you're doing things as well. How much do you, as you write these things, are you thinking, you know, we're really writing this for the hardcore fan as opposed to the more casual viewer? Not that anybody, you know, since it's such an episodic nature of the show, is really a casual viewer necessarily. But how does that factor in when you're doing these?
Well, these shows are written to try to make them as easy to follow, and so it's not really for the hardcore fan. They're written for someone who, you know, maybe tuning in for the first time, believe it or not.
Really?
And someone who, you know, saw last week but may not be, you know, remember or may have missed that last week. I mean, we repeat, if you notice in the show, there's a technique that's used, we repeat a lot of the situation and the plot points, and the characters repeat what's going on and repeat something that happened last week, and that's done intentionally to keep, you know, the show, and the show's, even for someone who watches it, you know, and I watch it on a week, because by the time the show airs, very often I've forgotten a lot of what happened.
And you're on the
show. I'm very, very much, last night I'm watching the episode for the first time again. And I find that you know, the repetition and the careful you know, statement of situations by the characters helps me follow, because, you know, 7 days, you know, you saw the show last week, but if you don't have that, you know, that reminder and really kind of handhold the audience through the shows, it can get confusing. And when it gets confusing, it becomes less involving. And I think that's one of the reasons why 24 is so involving, is because you are
right.
You really can follow what's going on. You know,
right. Speaking of evolving, and this is sort of involving, and this is sort of a follow up to my question about Jack. One of the other things that some of the folks have mentioned to us is seems to be less involvement of Chloe this year, and at least to the fans that we've talked to. They're somewhat disappointed in that. Could you speak to that for a moment?
Well, I really don't know what to say on that score. I think Chloe is being Chloe. I mean, there may not be I would say that she comes more involved as the season progresses.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that it's you know, Chloe is maybe moving into a new phase as a character, and is you know, we can't do, you know, the simple wisecracking, you know, a person at CTU who's just commenting on the actions, and to find her,
right.
You know, we're trying to find her an interesting story with Morris, and I think as the season progresses, people will be, you know, rethinking that.
Okay, very, very good.
I think, you know, a lot of these characters will go up and down as the story progresses. You know, sometimes they'll be more Chloe-centric and sometimes more Jack-centric.
Right.
And so on.
Now, where are you? Are you done with the season yet on the other end of things? How far are you along as far as writing?
Right now we're doing the second rewrite on episode 24.
Wow. And are you involved with that?
Yes, very much so.
Very good. And when do you think you'll have that all wrapped up?
We'll be finished writing by next week, pretty much.
And then you'll
which is good, because we start shooting next week.
Okay. and are you pretty much on schedule from what you've done in past seasons as well?
Yes, pretty much on schedule.
And a big celebration after you're done with the final one?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We were just in the 24 smoke room yesterday, just thinking how wonderful it's going to be once these are all packaged up and we can take a couple weeks off.
Well, that was going to be my next question. So then you're done with the season, and when do you start thinking about the next season?
Well, we're already thinking about next season.
Yeah. Really?
The conversations are already going, and we've already got an idea, I think, for next season. A lot of ideas, so it's actually going to be hard to take a break, because
right.
I think we're all really excited about next
right.
season, and it's, you know, we're anxious to talk about it.
Right. I'm just curious about sort of the mechanics of that. As a writer, do you keep you know, maybe a separate pad of paper or a separate file in your computer where you sort of put ideas that you've thought about as you're doing this season for things for next season?
Sure. I mean, I always keep it just a separate file. You know, I write in my story notes file where I just write ideas and musings and jot down, you know, story concepts that I can use for not just next season, but other episodes, and even completely different shows sometimes. But
right.
it's absolutely, it's just a brainstorming file.
Right. Excellent. Let me just ask you one last question just about Manny. During the sort of the hiatus, as it's known here in the business, is that time, besides obviously thinking of 24, where you think of maybe doing a feature film? Have you done a feature film before? And excuse me for not knowing.
Yeah, no, I've done, you know, I've actually directed feature films and directed television shows, and so I've been fortunate enough to work in the whole spectrum. But this year I will be, you know, thinking of another of a pilot for another series. I have an idea for a show that I've been noodling on, and I'm going to take the hiatus to, you know, formulate it into a pitch. So take it out next season. So I'm always, you know, I think we're always working. And sometimes that helps even for the show you're working on, to kind of change your palate, to clear your mind and work on something else.
Excellent. Well, thank you again for taking the time and giving us a little behind-the-scenes nature. Anything lastly before I hang up with you on any of the scenes yesterday that sort of, you could mention to us, you know, it was sort of written differently and one of the actors sort of changed it and you really liked the way that came out?
Well, I would credit the performance of the kid who played the autistic child last night. I mean, we were concerned about that. It was a tricky scenario. We weren't sure we could pull it off. We really wanted to tell a story that about how someone who's innocent is really affected by this whole plot. Because up to now, it's really been just people who were involved in the plot itself. And we really wanted to bring in someone from the outside who's just a happenstance bystander. And I thought it came off really well. The actor did a wonderful job. And the scene where he's, got to make the handoff to Gridenko. Beautifully. It was very well staged and directed.
Very, very well done, and he did a good job. So, well, thank you so much. I certainly appreciate it, and we'll talk again next time. Thank you so much, Manny.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.